And I think it's one of those things because you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. And the thing is, how many MACs there are, how many GWACs. They know how many GWACs there are because it's a government-wide acquisition contract. You need approval from OFPP right. to run one. But as a multiple award contract, agencies, and we're talking about stuff like DHS Eagle. We're talking about a lot of the stuff the Army does with ITES and ITES 2H and NetSense over at the Navy. And Seaport E and things like that, you don't need approval from anyone except for your internal to the agency. So you just don't know how many are out there, what they cover. And, you know, if you one says technology services, but the other says technology services and what flavor of it is it? It's like Baskin-Robbins, 31 flavors of technology services. But in the end, they're all ice cream. I think what OFPP is trying to do, and this is key, is they're trying to get their arms around it, as you said, by, number one, going on and listening to her. Dan Gordon's been talking to industry, talking to members
Everybody.
Of Congress.
He's been really out there.
And he feels like he has to understand what are the benefits, what are the advantages, what are the disadvantages, what do we need to know? And then he's also...
And it seems like it has to be something more than just, we're different than everybody else.
Correct.
There needs to be some tangible... a reason to have your own contract, it seems.
And I think people make the argument that we have unique needs, but I think what Dan Gordon's looking at is saying, okay, do you really have unique needs right. or you just think you do? And if you do, let's figure out what those unique needs are and have a contract for that. So beyond the listening tour, I think what the other thing he's going to do, and he hasn't sent out the data call yet, is but he's going to ask agencies, tell me about the MACs you have, the multiple work contracts you have. Who's on them? What are they for? Give me specifics. They're going to put together a database, an inventory, if you will, and then go from there and decide, make some decisions. Now, that's the long term. Short term, and we could see this as early as next week, OFPP will make a decision about the NIH CIO-SP3, which is a GWAC, it's a traditional GWAC, whether to renew that or not. A lot of consternation around the industry and government about whether this gets renewed. It's a pretty popular one, but is it repetitive or redundant to what happens over at Alliant with GSA? Do we need it? Dan Gordon is speaking at Tech America next Wednesday, the 26th, and what they're terming a listening-only venue, meaning no questions. And there's some sources who are telling me they think he'll make that an announcement at that event. Will he do it there? We don't know for sure. Right. But if it doesn't happen at that event, it's going to happen soon after.
And we haven't seen anybody get their we haven't seen a GWAC shut down. I can't remember one.
So GSA combined them into Alliant.
Right.
You had Millennia, you had Answer.
That was also a contract that had run its course.
That's exactly. The only one you've seen shut down is, if you remember, Transportation Department did something called ITOP.
Right.
ITOP was moved to GSA and it died there.
Yeah.
And now again, that expired. They didn't just say done with it. And I think that's what will happen to NIH if OFPP makes that decision. They'll just let it expire. They won't renew the authority.
Yeah.
And I think they won't shut it down, but all intents and purposes. There is some movement around vendors who are saying, listen, if they make this a health IT GWAC,
right.
that's the difference maker, not just IT services, but specifically health IT, because that's a lot different than traditional IT services.
And that's where I think the need comes in, is if you can have contracts that are focused on a health IT. SOUP focuses on this high-end computer equipment that NASA folks mostly use, does have broader implications, but in NASA, heavy user of those kinds of heavy upgraded machines.
And that's exactly what Peter Levine from the Senate Armed Services Committee, he's one of the staff members, he's a counsel, and he's well known in the procurement field as someone who really is a main push behind a lot of the...
Yeah, he doesn't like these things.
The procurement provisions in the DOD authorization bill.
Yeah.
And he spoke at a recent conference and talked about how if you have a vehicle that has 100 contractors, what's the difference between not having the vehicle at all?
Right.
And what's the unique value you're getting, which I think speaks well to what NASA SOUP has been doing and wants to do, versus just having another IT services contract that covers everything under the sun.
And if you have a contract that just puts everybody on it, why bother?
What's the benefit to anyone?
Just have the schedules, for goodness right. sakes.
And the same argument it was made around Alliant, if you remember that, when GSA awarded that, because they awarded to everyone who bid. But I think GSA's point is, we opened it up to a lot of people, but this is our main GWAC for IT services. We're not going to have seven of them. We're going to have one, and this is it. And they have set it up in such a way that it's a lot more flexible than the schedules, the types of contracting you can do, the way you can create teams and what they call solutions versus just products or services.
Hmm. And the cost, getting your arms around the cost. Also, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but I still don't think people know the overall cost to government of having multiple contracts.
Absolutely. And it's not just the cost to government, it's cost to industry who gets passed it back to government. And then the other thing I learned actually just
some of those, it seems soft. It's hard to, that number seems hard to get your arms around, but the cost of having people in agencies. At NIH, do you need to have those people doing that contract? Could they do something else?
The other thing, the two things that I learned.
Nothing against them, by the way.
No.
I don't want to get angry email or
you're
something.
You're not for or against NIH. Right, it's just as an example. Two things that I think just relate to that. One thing I learned today is that when an agency uses their own multiple award contract, there's a fee charge. When we don't say fee, we're not saying like a GSA fee. We're talking about the G&A and overhead that goes to run the contract is taken out from that office that runs that uses the contract. So for instance, if Office X is a program office that deals with, you know, widgets,
right,
and they need to use the contract to have a contractor to provide them with help desk services, a piece of their money, their top line, is taken out to pay for the contract administration. So everyone pays in the back end. The second thing is, which I think is fascinating.
It's almost like it's nice to have some accounting. I mean, that's essentially what the fee gives you, is some accounting. You know how much GSA schedules cost you or any of the GSA contracts because you pay that fee.
Right. The other analogy I'll use is when you have money taken out of your check each month for taxes, for whatever, you really don't feel it. You never see it. But if someone comes to you every month and says, okay, Chris, write me a check, you're like, oh man, I got to write that check again. And that, it's a different perception. It's a different feeling. Same money, but it's the fact is you got to write that check, and that's harder to do. Now, agencies, obviously, they're not writing checks. They're making transfers of funds. But the point is that's why they believe it's costing them more money versus this back end cost of people, of time, of maintaining these contracts that they don't really think about.
The fuzzy costs.